Orale, bienvenidos and welcome to a very, very special Dodger Blue edition of the Familia FFP podcast. Familia, if you haven't subscribe, please do so right now because you're going to love this episode. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking fantasy football. We're going to be talking Scott Fishbowl, everything. Oh, but also, so make sure you're liking and subscribing us on Familia FFP on YouTube. Also, make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code Familia23. You're going to get matched the first $100. First $100 you put in, they match another one, and then you just draft all the way. Practice all your drafts. And speaking of drafts, we're joined by a very, very, very special guest, Evan Phillips. I mean, I'm telling you, since he came to the Dodgers in 2021, he's been just one of the stalwarts, one of the linchpins of the Dodger bullpen. You guys know my affinity, my connection to the Dodger organization. Muchas gracias to Joe Jerick for making this, mi amigo. I'm still going to try and kick your butt in our fantasy league. So don't worry about that. But Evan, muchas gracias for joining us. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, man. So Evan, I got you've been playing. How long have you been playing fantasy football to start?
That's a good question. I think I started playing fantasy football when I was in college. I knew one of my freshman year, a bunch of my teammates were, chatting about, Jamal Charles this and Kirk Cousins is going to, Minnesota. He's going to be a stud. Tom Brady, this and that. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, yeah, it's the NFL, but what are you talking about? And they were talking about fantasy football. And, that kind of camaraderie was just really exciting, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I joined for the first time next year and, started doing the drafts, got addicted to it, and really enjoyed, having that relationship with my teammates. So that was back in 2014, I believe, was my first year playing. And honestly, it's created this new love for the NFL. Now I really enjoy watching games, not just for fantasy reasons, but I've become a fan of the sport as well.
Oh, no, that's awesome. And I got to tell you, so do you have any favorite formats that you like to play? Single quarterback, super flex, any crazy formats that you like?
Sure. So over the past few years, I've joined some dynasty leagues, and the majority of my dynasty leagues are like super flex or tight end premium. There's a little bit of spice, in each league. So I think my favorite is Superflex because I feel like the quarterback position is the most important position in the game and therefore should be valued as such in fantasy football. So doing the Scott Fishbowl this year, having that Superflex format where it values those quarterbacks. And I'll tell you what, we'll get to our draft in a minute, but quarterbacks were going fast and early in my draft.
Well, let's jump into it now. What division did you choose? And you gave me a little bit beforehand, but yeah, how did you? I thought it was a unique way that you came that you picked your division. And what spot did you pick? Because that was that's important.
Yeah, of course. So every year I've done the Scott Fishbowl. I believe this is my fourth year doing it. Awesome. I try to get my wife involved. I do a lot of fantasy football, and my wife will give me grief from time to time for doing it, but the Scott Fishbowl is a way I can have her included. So I had her choose my my division this year, and she landed on Whole Foods. And I thought that was a wise decision because if I would have chosen, McDonald's, Burger King, something like that, perhaps I would have come with some, negative connotation to it about Evan Phillips eating a bunch of McDonald's. So when my wife picked Whole Foods, I thought that was a great call. And I had her choose my draft slot as well. I think I gave her and this was a totally different conversation. I didn't even tell her what we were doing. I just said, pick a number between 1 and 12, randomly, just out of the blue one day. She had no idea what it was for. And to be honest, she said 6. And then she said, no, wait, 8. Wait a minute, 6. I don't know what to do. And so my wife does this all the time. She'll panic about what choice she needs to make, thinking it's some kind of game we're playing. I said, honey, just pick a number. It's not going to matter. Just pick a number. So she decided on 8, and I appreciated that because I think 8 has a bit more special meaning to me, too, as a baseball player. I was a huge Cal Ripken Jr. fan growing up. So number 8 on the baseball field when I was a kid growing up, too. So I feel like it's hopefully a lucky number for my drafts this year.
Oh, man. So who did you end up picking in the first round?
In the first round, I think there were 6 quarterbacks taken. Travis Kelce went first. And then 6 straight quarterbacks. And I felt pressed. I felt pressured to take a quarterback. And I didn't want to be, left with the bottom of the barrel of starting quarterbacks. So I went out there and I got Justin Herbert. And honestly, I feel really good about that. And then again, in the second round, coming back, who did I take in the second round? I believe I took Jamar Chase. I think Jamar Chase got all the way back to me. I'd have to double check. Our draft finished up a couple weeks ago. but very happy with how my draft finished up.
I mean, yeah, to start out with Herbert right off the bat, and I mean that's fantastic, especially being an being an LA guy.
Oh, exactly. And the second pick was actually Cooper Kupp.
Oh,
second pick was Cooper Kupp. I forgot about that one. Yep. So I feel good about I guess you're right. The LA connection. I got my got my Charger in the first round. Got my Ram in the second round. We'll be good to go.
Yeah, the best one on each team. So you got that one. So did you? So after the second round, that's really where it kind of starts taking off. Any particular strategies you wanted to take? Did you want to get that second quarterback quick or just start loading up other positions?
Yeah. I've always been the kind of drafter to let the draft fall to me. Of course, I feel like later in the draft, it's okay to reach for your guy that you feel strongly about, but I didn't want to stray too far from, average ADP. I wanted to see guys come down on value and someone I could snake up and have a quality pick. So I'm happy with the way my draft shaked out. I think the scoring system in Scott Fishbowl is always interesting. So I was torn between, do I get, the PPR receiver or the high volume running back, this and that. At the end of the day, we'll find out at the end of the year. But it's always a blast to draft.
Do you know who the second quarterback was you grabbed?
It was probably the seventh or eighth round, and I was torn between Matthew Stafford and CJ Stroud. And I had so I could have built that connection between Stafford and Kupp, or I could take, some potential upside on the rushing side with CJ Stroud, young quarterback, he's going to have plenty of opportunity. So I opted to go with Stroud, and I'm still having second thoughts about which one I should have taken. And those two guys were probably my best two options at that point. I ended up snaking Ryan Tannehill later in the draft as well. So I have a little bit of depth at that position. So hopefully that works out for me.
Yeah, I think he's got I think Tannehill's got one more year in the tank.
Yeah, especially now that they got DeAndre Hopkins, that move was made after our draft. So as soon as I saw Hopkins sign there, I felt even more confident about that pick.
Oh, that's a real good one. So I won't tell Clark Kershaw that you took Stroud over Stafford. So we'll keep that quiet.
We got to keep that close to the chest for sure.
Just you and me. won't tell anyone. I could see either one doing that. And you're gonna have Tannehill. Any running backs that you remember grabbing in that one?
So like I said, I let the draft somewhat fall to me, and it was way too good of a value pick. I took Breece Hall and Ramondre Stevenson. And so part of my decision-making in that is that Dalvin Cook may or may not sign with one of those two teams, but I figured if I grab both of those running backs, Dalvin can only ruin one of their situations. And even in that case, I feel like Dalvin, he'll be a complimentary piece, more of a good fit for the football team. I still think Ramondre and Breece will be solid fantasy options this year.
Yeah, I think Breece, I mean, even if he gets off to a slow start, still rehabbing, I think he's going to be a guy. I was talking to a physical therapist who does fantasy analysis, and he said that, by the second half of the season, he should be. He's actually one of his, my guys for this season.
And that's good to hear.
And he's also a trainer for the Minnesota Twins in the minor league system. So,
oh my goodness. All right.
He knows what he's talking about. So
that's deep dive stuff, man.
Oh, absolutely. Now, did you get any late picks that you remember grabbing that maybe are some lottery tickets you think?
So it wasn't so much a late pick, but one of my guys that I felt strongly about, I actually grabbed Quentin Johnston, the rookie receiver for the Chargers. And so he's in my starting lineup. I think he's my second flex in the Scott Fishbowl format. And like I said, I didn't really reach for him or anything. I believe Mike Williams was on the board the pick before I took Quentin Johnston. I believe I chose Chris Godwin over him. So to get that last Herbert and receiver connection with Johnston, I was pretty excited about that.
So I'll give you a little somewhat insider info. I do a beat writer series talking to beat writers from every team. And my Charger beat writer told me he interviewed Derwin James, all pro safety. And he asked him just blanket, any rookies that have stood out. No prompting. He said, Quentin Johnston. He said, he is him. This guy is going to be it. So it's like, one of the best defenders in the game. So Quentin Johnston, you might have yourself a find there.
All right. It sounds good to me.
I think we're liking this. So, how great is it to see, on the Scott Fishbowl, just kind of just the whole fantasy community? I mean, it's your fourth year playing in it. When you first found out about it, to get accepted to play in it and to continue to play in it, you've seen the community aspect to it. How great is it to be a part of that?
Yeah, I think that's the entire point of it, and I love spreading the joy that this league creates. And I always tell people, there's 3,300 teams in this league. Like, you gotta check this out. And they're like, what do you mean? How are there over 3,000 teams? So I get the opportunity to explain what this is and the awareness it brings for Fantasy Cares. And it's really important that, I get to do something that I enjoy that has a bigger meaning than just, fantasy football success. So regardless of how my season goes, the goal for me in my league this year is to have a greater impact than just fantasy scores.
Has there been any trash talk in the chat?
It's been very cordial so far, but I feel like we got a lot of time leading up into camp. So I'm sure it'll pick up as week one approaches, for sure. I do have one of our athletic trainers in our clubhouse is actually in the league with me. He had submitted an invite or a request to join the league, and he got invited. So when I told him I was in the Whole Foods division, he snagged, I think, the sixth spot. And it was fun to talk the draft and talk about strategy and, did you see the two picks that this person made at the turn, little things like that, just to create some banter and try to get an idea of who he's looking at picking, in front of me in the next round or so.
Now, at 6 and 8, you guys were probably sniping each other all day.
Fortunately, I think we avoided that for the most part. I think strategy comes into play. He has to take quarterback here. It's time for me to get a tight end. So fortunately, we didn't really bump heads too often. But it's a dangerous game when you draft close to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with your friends. Yeah, I know. How did you do last year?
Last year, I actually had a good regular season record. I think I missed the playoffs by one game. I think I got derailed by injuries. I can't remember who my quarterbacks were, but I remember I got to the point where I didn't even have two quarterbacks to play, and I was flexing an extra kicker and an obscure tight end. But so it goes. That's the game we play, and it's part of the fun of fantasy.
Oh man, well I got a little lucky. I got to the final. I got to the semifinals, and just missed the finals. Yeah, I'm like,
that's exciting.
That was really cool. I was like, I was seeing all the people who were below me, and I was just like, damn, that's pretty cool. So
yeah, good for you.
No, it was fun. It was fun. So with the season coming on, at the risk of letting any league mates or teammates who might be watching, any strategies you're looking to employ in any of your drafts coming up?
I do feel like in my first three seasons of the Scott Fish Bowl, attention to the waiver wire is important. Any opportunity to snake up a potential starting quarterback or any sort of high volume player that might jump into a role at some point. I feel like I tried to do better of that in the draft this year. So I took a guy like Jalen Warren, Elijah Mitchell in San Francisco, a couple of guys that, one, can probably hold value on their own, but two, in case of injury or any other expanded opportunity, they might have a significant role in fantasy this year.
Oh, I'll give you another insider bit. Frank Gore, probably future Hall of Famer. I know Joe loves him because he's a 49er. He loves Elijah Mitchell.
He's a great player. And I know that San Fran offense is high powered. And, even if CMC is doing his thing, I think there could be opportunity for Elijah Mitchell as well.
Yeah, they're definitely going to use him. That's that offense. They just use that offense.
Exactly.
Any other my guys that you're hoping to draft more often during the as you get closer to the season?
It's pretty clear to say Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, but last year I felt really good about I drafted Devontae Smith as a bench receiver, and I felt like the Eagles offense was really going to pop, and so I felt really good about that one last year. Unfortunately, this season his ADP has dramatically increased, but I do think that Eagles offense is one to invest in. I feel like it'll be interesting to see which running back there kind of, takes the biggest workload. I'm an Eagles fan, so I pay attention to all their games, watch how their offense operates. And, it's not really like them to have one standout running back, but whether it's Rashad Penny, DeAndre Swift, Kenneth Gainwell, I feel like one of those guys may emerge as a big star for fantasy this year.
Yeah, they're kind of like the 49ers when it comes to the backfield. Whoever's taking the ball, you know, is gonna be helping them. And it might be two or three guys who are getting 10 touches each. So, I just recently this week I wrote a feature for Yahoo Fantasy talking recommending the elite quarterback and talking about the top three being one of them, Jalen Hurts. So what little insider info? Not so insider info. Take a look at week 17, who Jalen Hurts is playing, the Arizona Cardinals. It's in Philly. So big reason to take the Eagles.
There you go. That's a good call.
Big reason. So, before we go, I got two quick ones, but you got a fantasy analyst in front of you right now. Any questions you got? Any questions you got about the coming season? You feel free to ask.
Let me see. So you kind of alluded to it right there with that last comment about the Eagles playing the Cardinals in week 17. Mm-hmm. So you look at my question is, how often do you take into account playoff schedule while you're drafting? Because that's something I'll look at, you know, midway through the year. Like, who do I want to acquire that, you know, has a weak matchup or a very positive matchup for this player in the playoffs? But typically that's not something I'm looking at until I'm trending towards the postseason. How early do you look at a playoff schedule for a player?
Right when the schedules come out. I look in May because I want to see if quarterbacks are going to be if any of the elite quarterbacks are going to be throwing in potentially in bad weather, and if they're playing in a dome or in California, you know, then I want to load up on them. That's why this year I'm really high on Jared Goff and for people who want to wait on quarterback, Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins, they're home during the fantasy playoffs. And so they don't have to play in Green Bay and those kind of things. But right. I'm also looking at matchups. So Patrick Mahomes, he could throw in a blizzard. So he's home against Cincinnati. You got to figure that's going to be a shootout. Right. So, Josh Allen, another one. He's home against New England. And his last five games against New England, he's averaged almost 300 yards passing, and he's thrown like 17 touchdowns. So you just he's home. So I mean, that's the thing I also like to see. You know, you like pitching at home much better. I know that mound at Dodger Stadium. A lot of people rave about it. I've raved about it for 150 years, more than 60 years. Oh, yeah. So guys, I know guys are better at home, and if they're home and in good weather, then that gives me extra value. I'll give you another one to look at. Derrick Henry. Is home in weeks 15 and 17 against the Houston Texans. And he usually just loads up against the Houston Texans. I know they got a new coach, defensive coordinator, but, you know, teams don't like go from bottom ranked running defense to, you know, the 85 Bears.
Right.
So those are the things. Yeah. I definitely look at those. Definitely look at playoff schedule because I love that. I love to see the opportunity to play guys. And sometimes it'll be that'll be my difference between one guy to the other.
Sure.
I'll give you an example. Last year I was, between Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson I favored Chase because Jefferson was in Green Bay for that final week. And he didn't have a big week. That final week, Jamar Chase, their game got canceled, but
right.
At least I got half of that right. So definitely love looking at at those final weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff.
No. Yeah. Anytime. I think I follow you. So I'll shoot you a note.
Okay,
yeah, perfect. You feel free to send me any questions anytime during the
season.
One baseball question to ask you. Mentioned Clayton Kershaw, and I had the good fortune of my first year with the team was the year this 18-year-old kid with a buzz cut in June, a couple months after his 18th birthday, comes in and signs his contract, and now he's an icon, future Hall of Famer. You've had the opportunity to be his teammate, and you've also had the opportunity of closing games out, closing victories out for him. I got him. Figure does that hold a little more significance when you know it's saving a game for him?
You know, I think the best way for me to put it is that Clayton has had an incredible impact on my desire to win baseball games. I think one thing about Clayton is that he is, you know, uber competitive, and he genuinely wants to win more than anything. And I feel like me changing my perspective from, you know, personal successes or, you know, my own struggles here and there, you know, back when I was in different organizations, as soon as I got to the Dodgers, I learned the importance of a win. And so to go out there and finish a game, honestly, for any of our guys, but, you know, it means a little bit more when it's for Clayton. You know, that guy's done so much for this organization, has really been the model for how to be a pro as a Dodger. So to finish a game, you know, after he's, you know, started us off and had a great game, there's no better feeling. There really isn't.
No, you know what? Yeah, I got a Kershaw shirt that I still wear whenever I come to the games. And if whether he's pitching or not pitching, sometimes that doesn't matter, but it holds more significance. I know I know what a Kershaw day means, even from when he debuted in 2008. So that's awesome. So last one, it's a fun one that I love to close out with, Familia FFB. I love to ask people about Mexican food, and LA being one of the hubs, any favorite place you want to give a shout out? Cause they might, you know, who knows? They might. I'll put them in the tweet.
Yeah, sure. You know, so I haven't gone out as much as I wish I could. Typically, our schedule allows for a little bit of time here and there, but we do bring in some really high quality food into Dodger Stadium. And just this week, we brought in Gogo's Tacos. Not sure how familiar the crowd might be with that one, but it was delicious. Had some great carne asada tacos. And honestly, the chips that they brought from the restaurant, probably the best tortilla chips I have ever had in my life.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to look them up. I haven't heard of them. So
okay. I hadn't heard the name before they brought them in either. So hopefully I have to stop by their place one time.
Oh, yeah. When it's great chips, it's fantastic. Yeah. Love it. Oh, mi amigo, this has been awesome. Listen, wish you nothing but health. I hope you're busy on Halloween. I hope you're pitching on Halloween. So we know what
that means,
but listen, I'm going to give you the floor. Anything you'd want to say to Dodger fans, fantasy football fans, anything, you feel free.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to have me out here. It's great to enjoy, you know, fantasy football and in a community like this, and especially, you know, in an event like the Scott Fish Bowl. It's a great opportunity to spread awareness for, you know, the kind of reach fantasy football can have. And to all my Dodger fans, thank you very much, you know, for accepting me and inviting me in so warmly as a Dodger. Trust me, we're doing everything we can to win as many games and hopefully win the last game of the year in the World Series.
Oh, yes. And as the great icon himself, Tommy Lasorda, loved to say, once a Dodger, always a Dodger. Or what he also loved to tell kids is to just look up to the sky and say, I love the Dodgers. And then he'll always say, and the Dodgers love you. So, Evan, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. Familia, thank you for joining us. One more time, just make sure you're following us on YouTube. Get that like, hit that subscribe. This is the kind of content you're getting on here. One more time, shout out to mi amigo Joe Jarek. Muchas gracias for doing this. And last one, just last but not least, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. Get matched up to the first $100. Muchas gracias to Evan Phillips. Thank you for joining us. And Familia, remember, todos somos familia. Salud.